two messages that I want to deal with out of Psalm 107. And Psalm 107, and I want to deal with these two messages, not tonight, but one tonight, maybe one next Wednesday night if possible, even though they're overlap. But I feel like I need to deal with both areas, and even though they're similar, because I just can't get away from it, and it's been on my heart. I tried to divide it into four messages because it's four divisions, but seem like I can't really do that either. So I pray that the Lord will just give us something tonight, something that will encourage and challenge us to be what we need to be. Psalm 107, verse number 1 through verse number 31. Psalms 107, verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought them down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgressions, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word, and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let's pray. Father, we need help tonight. I pray You'd teach us. I pray You'd speak to my heart, speak to our hearts. Let no one quench Your Spirit. I pray You'd help me physically as far as my throat is concerned and my sinus area. I pray You'd help that, Lord, to be dried up, that it not create any problem in the message if it please You. We'll thank You for it. We want Your will done. Just help us tonight and help each person tonight to be sensitive to You. I plead the blood, asking that just Your will be done. May You form a vacuum on this property, Lord. Even as people come up to the building, may they sense the presence of the Lord in the days to come. In this new year, I pray that we'd be very sensitive to You. And, Lord, that we'd be mindful of what You desire. And help us, Lord, to be what we need to be in these days. And I know we can't do it ourselves, but give us grace. Give us mercy. Give us help. Give us hope. And give us a heart to keep on keeping on. We'll thank You for what You do. I pray now that You just save some soul, speak to some heart. You've heard the request tonight that was mentioned, spoken and unspoken. We lift them all to You collectively, asking that You'd touch, that You'd hear, that You'd grant in accordance to Your will and Your way. Oh, do a work in our midst, Lord, and we'll thank You for what You do. I want to say I love You. Help me to love You more day by day. Help me to walk in Your will and way, and we'll thank You for all You do and praise You for it and be careful to give You the glory for it. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. For His sake, we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to deal tonight with a subject like this from Psalms 107 as the basis of it.
what is it going to take for us to cry out to the Lord, to really cry out, or will we wait too late? That's the title. Short title, isn't it? Short verses we read, but I'll get it down. You don't have to worry about it, Brother Mike. I'll get it down later. But it says, what's it going to take for us to cry out unto the Lord, really cry out, or will we wait too late? Now, here four times in this Psalms, Bible mentioned four times, four verses here in Psalms 107. We read them. It said in this Psalm, then they cry or they cried out. In other words, they will cry or they cry. Then they cry or they cried. Verse number 6 says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their stresses. Verse number 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Verse number 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. Verse number 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. So we see here, as the psalmist is writing, he's speaking of Israel, and he uses the word then four times in that verse. In other words, then they cry or they cried. And that word then indicates a condition that's really been worked in the people of Israel that caused them to cry out. In other words, four times they cried out because a condition was worked in them. In other words, so that they cried out. And you listen to the first one, the condition was they lacked food. I guess a man gets hungry, he began to cry out, you know, in a sense. But he said in verse 4 and 5, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And then you see what he said? Then they cried unto the Lord. They got hungry. They got thirstitude. They got destitute for food. In other words, destitute. They didn't have any. And then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Verse 7 said, and He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. So they were destitute of food. Another time they rebelled is another instance here. And when they rebelled, verse number 11 and 12 said, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. In other words, the word rebel there, it means that they refused to obey. They resisted authority. We know the story about Korah and the rebellion that he had against God's man, Moses, in that day. But and he also said they contemned the Most High, the counsel of the Most High. The word contemned means despised and rejected here. And that resulted in what it was a result, in essence. Verse number 10 says, it calls them such as set in darkness and in shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. In other words, they sat in the shadow of death, it said, because of the condition of their rebellion, if you please. But what happened when they got to that place? Then, verse 13 said, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Verse 14 said, He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. So they cried twice, he said, because they were destitute of food, and God heard and delivered. They cried because they was in bondage, in a sense, and they had rebelled. It caused them to be there. They were brought down, in a sense, to almost like death there, it talked about, in the shadow of death. And they cried, and God delivered them again. And now we see in verse number 17 and 18, he said another condition here. They were lying on the deathbed. The other time it was just a shadow of death. Now they're at death's door. And it said, verse 17, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. And then what did he say? In other words, that the sin brought the nation to that condition, near extinction, if you please. And then they cry, verse 19 says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. Verse 20 says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And then the fourth situation here, they'd got to their wits' end. Verse 27 said, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. You ever heard anybody say, I'm at my wits' end? And sometimes we mean it, and sometimes we may be, and sometimes we may not be. Amen. But when they got to their wits' end, what did they do? Verse 28 said, there that they cried Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. Verse 29 said, He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So He bringeth them into their desired haven. There is what he said here in those. Now we see the principle that's here that we find throughout the Word of God. What they did all throughout the Bible is just like this. Men begin to cry out to the Lord, but it was after they got to their wits' end. They'd got to the place. There was nowhere else to go. All hope was gone. It'd be like the woman with the issue of blood. She didn't come to Jesus because she found out all the others wouldn't work. Amen. And that's about where we've got to get to. And we see that principle over and over throughout the Bible as we see that when the children of Israel were in bondage. Now, I don't know exactly how many years the children of Israel were in bondage, but it was over 80 because Moses was born in that bondage where they were actually in rigor, I'm talking about. I know that it talks about 430 years. That wasn't all in real rigor. It was just 80 plus years. I don't know how many. It might have been 100, might have been 120. I don't know. But we know it was 80 plus years because Moses' mom and daddy was in that rigor of being of making brick. And 80 years later, before God ever sent a deliverer there to bring him out, right? Oh, man, that seems like a long time. Well, what I'm talking about the principle. They had to get to wit's end. They had to get where there's no help any other way. And the Bible said in Exodus chapter 2, verse number 23, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. It doesn't say then, but it says, and they cried. But we could put a then there. Then they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage. And God sent Moses down, and He'd already prepared him to lead them out of the city, out of Egypt, out of bondage. Well, we see also after they got led out of bondage, you know, the night whenever the tenth plague come upon them, and that death angel, we call it death angel, God came through, and death came upon the firstborn in the house. And as a result of that, Pharaoh said, get out of here. But he changed his mind. After 3 nights and 3 days, they began to follow him. In a sense, they gathered their horses together and went down. And God got them in a spot right between, in a triangle, between the mountains, the Red Sea, and here comes the armies of Pharaoh. And it looked like they was going to be doomed. And the Bible says this in Exodus chapter 14, verse number 10. In other words, they blamed Moses about it first. They had to look over him. But it said, when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptian marched after them. And they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried. We could put a then there. Then the children of Israel cried when they were got afraid. They got to the end of themselves. They thought they was gone, but they cried out unto the Lord. And God had a plan, didn't He? The Red Sea dried up. They walked over on dry ground. He delivered. I'm talking about the principle that's in Psalm 107 all throughout the Bible. In the days of the judges, we go back in Judges chapter 3, verse number 7 and 8. It said, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forget the Lord their God and serve Balaam, which is plural for Baal, and the groves. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He sold them into the hand of the king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served the king of Mesopotamia 8 years. 8 years that they were in captivity. Well, you'd say, well, it looked like anybody ought to cry out. They probably did, but they didn't really cry out. You see, until it got so bad that they finally, then verse number 9, chapter 3, verse number 5, and said, when the children of Israel cried. In other words, I believe we could put a then. Then the children of Israel cried. When it got so bad after 8 years, they said, we can't stand it any longer. Nothing else matters. They cried unto the Lord. And the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. So He raised up a deliverer. And by the way, as a result of the judge going out and using that man, they delivered Israel from the bondage that they were in at that time, and from the king of Mesopotamia, and that land had rest 40 years, verse number 11 said. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Well, you say, boy, they learned a lesson then, didn't they? No. You know what they did? The children of Israel did. Verse number 12 said, and the children of Israel did evil again. They didn't learn their lesson. They did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. In other words, this is a king from another nation coming over that put them in bondage, in a sense, and they did evil. Verse number 14 says, "And so the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. Before it was 8, now it's 18 years they had to serve him. But then verse number 15 said, "But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord," or we could say, "Then the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera of Benjamite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab." In other words, they raised him up, another deliverer at that time, if you please. And you go on and find after, of course, this Ehud was a left-handed man. And if you'll study the scripture out, Eglon was a fat man. And when Ehud went over there in his house and he took a dagger in his left hand, and I guess it had like a dagger. I got a little, what do you call that? Anyway, sticking out both ways, you know. It's not just like a pocket knife, but it's got those things that stick out. And he thrust it into the belly of Eglon, and he couldn't get it back out. So we could title a message there, when Lefty Let Fatty Have It. Amen? And God delivered them. I mean, they were delivered from Eglon, but it took them 18 years before God raised up a deliverer, because it took them that long to get to the wit's end. The principle, if you please. And verse number 30 said they had 80 years of rest. And the land had rest 80 years, which is 80 years. But you say they learned a lesson. Well, what does chapter 4, verse 1 say? "And the children again did evil in the sight of the Lord." When Ehud was dead, after they'd rested 80 years, they got complacent. They took everything, well, it's been this way, it's going to be on this way. But they did evil again in the sight of the Lord after Ehud was dead. And as a result, verse 2 said, "And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, and reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Hashasheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." In other words, they were there, really, if we go back and study, they were there for 20 years. It talks about in verse number 3, they oppressed him for 20 years, and then they cried unto the Lord, and for he had 900 chariots of iron, which is equal to a tank, each one of them. And 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. But they didn't cry until after 20 years down the road before their cry was heard before the Lord. And then, in a sense, God delivered them. He raised up another deliverer and delivered them at that time. And the land had rest. We'll study, if you go over to chapter 5, verse number 31 of Judges, it said there that there was... So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun that goeth down forth in his night, in his might. And the land had rest 40 years. Boy, you say, my, they've learned a lesson now, hadn't they? Well, look what happened in chapter 6, verse 1. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian for 7 years here." And then what happened? Well, verse 6 and 7 says, "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." We could say then they cried after 7 years of being impoverished. In other words, no food. They didn't have enough to eat, enough to feed their family. And it came to pass, verse 7 says, "When the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, now the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you this land." In other words, he also went on and raised up a deliverer at this time. And as a result, the country was in quietness for 40 years. Chapter 8, verse number 28. And of course, Gideon was the one who went with the sword of Gideon and delivered him. Verse 28 says, "Though thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon." See, over and over in the days of Judges, same thing that happened that he said in Psalm 107. Then they cried. They didn't cry until things got so bad that they couldn't stand it anymore. "Well, I can handle this all by myself," we say sometime. And we say we cry out, but we really don't cry in that sense. What did I say the title of the message was? What's it going to take for us to cry out unto the Lord? I mean, really cry out, or will we wait too late?
Well, we find here, you say they learned a lesson then after Midian, for sure, didn't it? Well, chapter 10, verse number 6 of Judges says this. Chapter 10, verse number 6, he said, verse number 6, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served him not. And then verse 7 says, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines, into the hand of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years. 18 years. All the children of Israel that were on the other side of Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is Gilead, they oppressed them for 18 years. Then what did they do? Verse 10 said, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Took them 18 years before they cried unto the Lord with a cry that got his attention, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and have served Balaam. And you notice something, know what the Lord said in verse number, as he spoke to them in verse 11. Now hereafter, over and over and over, they'd cried, and God's goodness was to lead them to repentance. They seemingly repented, but they forgot where they'd come from and what had happened. And they went back in the same pattern as their forefathers did. And here, though this time, when they cried, and what did the Lord say here? He said, verse 11, and the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines? The Zidonians also, and the Amalekites and the Manoahites did oppress you, and ye cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. That's a sad thing for the nation of Israel, if you please. For Judah, I mean, this is the whole nation of Israel at this time. He said, go and cry unto the gods which you've chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. That's what God told them there at that time. And yet, what did they do? They repented, it seemed, because it said in verse 15, the children of Israel said unto the Lord, this is chapter 10 of Judges, verse 15, the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee, deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the strange god from among them and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. It seemed when they repented, God's heart was touched. And we find that he, of course, raised up a judge, other judges after that, that delivered them again and again and again. But finally, God came to a point where he couldn't deliver them anymore. Well, you say, but they surely learned after that, didn't they? Well, chapter 13, verse number 1, listen to what it says. And the children of Israel did evil again. In other words, again, 40 years of servitude they had to go into the hand of the Philistines there. Now, God raised up Samson, and he delivered them again. And they raised up Samuel, they raised up Eli, and he raised up Samuel. And they were delivered over and over, and yet they went right back after a time of prosperity and went into captivity, did evil again. Oh, you realize something, David. History repeats itself, by the way. It's done that as far as the days of Judges. But David said this in the book of about David in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse number 5 and 7. David singing a song of deliverance when he said this. When the ways of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me or preceded me is what the word means. In my distress, I called unto the Lord and cried to my God, and He did hear my voice out of the temple, and my cry did enter His ears. Then in verse 17 and through 20 of that chapter, it said, He sent from above, He took me, He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. Now David experienced the same thing as he did in the days of Judges, but he had to get in distress. He had to get to wit's end, like the Israel did in Psalm 107 before he really cried with a cry to where the Lord heard. But it happened over and over. The psalmist said in Psalms 120, verse number 1, he said, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. We could put it this way. In my distress, then I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. You see, the children of Judah, we find them in 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse number 14 and 15. Israel is fighting Judah, and I mean, they're conveyed together there, and they're kind of in a mess, but yet the Bible said, when Judah looked back, verse 14 said, behold, the battle was before and behind. So they were surrounded. What are we going to do now? Then, well, it doesn't say then, but it says they cried. And they cried unto the Lord. We could say then they cried unto the Lord. Whenever it got to the place they were surrounded, and there was no way out within human help, if you please. And the priests sounded with the trumpets, and the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God spoke Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. God did it. God delivered them. When they cried, but when did they cry? When it got to where there was nowhere else to go. There was no way out. Folks, our way, we'll do everything we can, and it goes for salvation. When we think we can figure it out, we'll try our best to figure it out, work it out. I can handle this job all by myself. Amen. It's what we think. But whenever we get to the place we can't handle it, then we've got to turn to the Lord. That's usually when we turn to the Lord, when no one else can help. Amen? In that sense. And He delivered. History repeats itself. And four times in Psalms 107, in other words, it said they cried. They cried unto the Lord. Four times when they got in the situation that we're in that we read a while ago. And yet, there's four times in Psalms 107 that's got the same verse. Verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse number 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse number 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And verse number 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. You realize something? Four times the Lord mentioned the same verse. And it's got a ring of a longing of God's heart in that. I've delivered you. I've delivered you. I've delivered you. I've delivered you. You had to get the tight spot in a bad shape. And then you cried and I delivered you and you forgot me. Oh, that men would praise me. I don't mean you got to jump up and down, hoop and holler. But just be thankful for what the Lord's done. Amen. For His goodness that He's done. And wouldn't men, He's saying, give me glory. But instead, He does evil again and He has to be punished is what happened as far as Israel was concerned. And that same, this history repeating itself with Israel is the same thing with America. We go back and look at America's history and we're the same way. I mean, early in days when people had nowhere else to go, they'd cry out to the Lord and the Lord would deliver. Then they'd get to moving west, more land, prosperity, and after they would set in, and as a result, they'd leave God out, and God would have to send pestilence or disease of some kind, or the Indians, if you please, to destroy them in that sense, or put them into captivity. So you see, when times are good, we don't need God. We don't even think about God, but you let times get tough. You let times get desperate. And we'll think about God. I've heard some people say, I learned to pray in the hospital when I got somebody and the doctor said, there's no hope. There's no hope. And said they made their way down to a place and got alone. And they learned to pray for the first time. That's where you cry out to the Lord in that place. Then man begins to cry. And I think about the depression days of the 30s. They got pretty rough a long time before they actually were delivered out of it, what I understand. And yet people said, oh, we need out of that. But they were looking to this and looking to that. But finally, it got so bad that God let them out of it. I mean, it might not have been out like we'd think, but God brought them out. We don't know what depression is. If depression would cause us to have God to move in our midst, that's what we need. I remember a man preaching one time on a message. He said, thank God for a depression. Of course, he didn't suffer too much through it. You know what I mean? He was a baby when it was there. But he said, if that's what it takes for us to have God, that's what we need. World War II, what did they do? I mean, it got bad and people began to cry. Churches prayed and prayed for their boys. Mamas and prayed for their boys over on foreign soil. World War II, there's a lot of it going on. And God delivered, did He not? Against unequal odds. No way would they ever, when they stormed Normandy Beach, they didn't think they'd ever make it, really. I liked it like it did. They thought they'd lose a whole lot more than what they did. And is that not what they said? And yet, men prayed and God delivered. In the Persian Gulf situation, something fresh for us. I'm sure there wasn't a praying going on like it was in World War II, but there was some praying going on. They even said there's revival in the trenches. People going over there and getting saved right and left. They're just scared they're going to go into Iraq the next days, and they just trying to make an insurance policy, take out an insurance policy, because you know whenever they went in and did what they did, I won't tell you, it wasn't our superior knowledge that did that. It wasn't, and yet we had superior knowledge in a sense. It wasn't our superior weapons, and we had superior weapons. But I won't tell you who delivered that day from Saddam Hussein. It was God. Amen? It was God. Remember the story I told you about the boy down at Myrtle? That he was driving one of those tanks, and don't you sort of sit backwards up on that thing, Adam, and sort of lean back or something, and head to his navigator, and they say, you can tell if you're going to get hit, am I right? That's what he said, what he called him, that guy with the weapons, and he hauled it once, he said, we're fixing to get hit. He said, there's a mortar round coming right straight for us. He'd see it on his radar or whatever it is on his screen. And he said all at once, it went up and over and back down. Now, you tell me how that can happen. And that boy said, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And the boy that was driving, he said, I do. He said, my mom and daddy's praying for me right now. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you, there's some prayers went up for the soldiers over there. And God delivered. And they said, we're having revival. And yet, just as quick as it's over with, what was it on the TV? Wine, women, and song. Can't wait to get out of this God-forsaken country. They didn't call it that. But they wanted to get back where they had the liquor and the wine, women, and song. Is that not right? I mean, but what happens? See, when we get in destitution, we cry out for the Lord. And God delivers, even though sometimes we're not where we ought to be. And yet He's still good to us to bring us to repentance. And they cried out. You see, you realize something here as he said in Psalm 107, verse number 8 there. He said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. In other words, that's the cry of God's heart. In other words, what's it going to take for us to cry out unto the Lord? I'm talking about really cry out. Or will we wait too late, like God said for the children of Israel back there? By the way, I left out a verse a while ago. I think I was supposed to read a while ago. We were talking about being too late for those when God, they said, well, I'm not going to hear. The Bible says this in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 1, verse number 22, I guess, where I can start reading. He said, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then they'll call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. In other words, God said, you need to cry out. But that nation did it again and again. God said to them one time, I'm not going to hear anymore. Not going to hear this particular group anymore. Listen, when will we do it? Listen, the Lord desires you to cry out before it ever happens to you. That's what He wants you to do. He wants you to be in the attitude of crying out to Him. The Bible says in our model prayer, which some people call the Lord's Prayer, but it's a model prayer because Jesus never prayed this. But He said this in Matthew 6:11. This is the way you ought to pray. But part of it said, give us this day our daily bread. And then verse 13 said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, He said, cry out before you ever get to it. Keep us from evil. Keep us from all those situations. How do you pray? Do you get up and say, God, protect me for as I go down the road, keep me from harm? Doesn't mean it always will do it. But sometimes you pray that and God's heard your cry before you ever needed Him, in a sense, to deliver you. You was delivered before you ever got to that situation. You see, you know they've got these helicopters up there in Nashville. I remember seeing them the other day when we come out of Nashville that day. I got caught in the traffic, Ray. You remember we was trying to beat it, but we didn't. We beat most of it. But I looked up there, and there was that helicopter running. And I said, do I need to go this way or that way? You know, there's two or three ways you can go. And I said, and boy, I went the right way, I reckon. But anyway, the helicopter was up there. I didn't have the radio on, but You know, they got places they'll say, tune in if it's flashing, tune in a certain place. They'll tell you what's going on. But if you tune in sometimes on just the radio, if you're in Nashville, and that they'll report from that helicopter, don't go down I-24 this way, or don't go up I-65 this way, because there's a bad wreck there, and it's going to take about 4 hours to clean that up. And if you done past the exit, you're in trouble. Amen? But if you can ever get the message before you get to that exit, you say, I'm going to get off here, and I'm going to go around. Somebody the other day said they got like about 11-tenths of a mile being to the exit where they was going to get off, and got caught in this thing up here on I-24. I don't know. Somebody was telling that today. I heard them tell about that. But the thing about it is, I believe I just went on and walked rather than sat there. But the thing about it, if you can just hear that helicopter or those people warning you, if you'll heed the warning, then you'll be moved aside, in essence. You go around on the streets of a large city. And in other words, you can pray and cry out to the Lord, and He'll keep you out of harm's way if you listen to His warning. Amen. The Lord does that, and He'll do that for you. And He also, the Lord desires not only to cry out before it ever happens, He wants you to cry out when it's beginning to be involved in certain situations. I mean, you know, most of the time we've got to get to wit's end about a situation before we ever turn to the Lord. You wring your hands and say, what in the world do I do? You ought to have been praying before you ever got in it. And then when it comes your way, if God allows something to come, you can pray while it's involved in that situation. In other words, just beginning to get involved in it. Peter said this in Matthew chapter 14, verse number 30. He was out there. He got out of the boat and walked to Jesus. And the Bible says, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried. Just beginning to sink. He wasn't going down for the last time, but he cried out to the Lord. You see, if we'll cry out in prayer before trouble comes, when trouble comes, and we can expect the Lord to deliver. Remember the old granny in the Delta? Sitting on the front porch, they said a tornado's coming, and a man across the road's an oasis, and he had never prayed and didn't want to pray, but boy, whenever things looked like he's going to get blown away, he began to get religious. And he said, Granny, pray. He went over across the road and said, pray, Granny, pray. And she just kept a rocking in her chair and said, glory to God, let her rip. Said, I prayed this morning. He told her, tornado's coming. She said, I prayed this morning. So you can pray beforehand. You can pray when you get in a situation, if you please. Cry out when all human help has failed. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. In other words, Jesus more or less just ignored her, and the disciples said, send her away. But she kept on crying out, because she knew that he was the only help left. She wouldn't take no for an answer, amen. And as a result, she wouldn't be put down either. What I'm saying, she cried out, and the Lord delivered. In other words, you think about blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, verse number 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth coming, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they tried to quieten him down, and he cried out even the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know why he did that? He knew there was no other help or hope without the Lord Jesus. And he cried out from the depths of his heart and got the Lord's attention. Amen. He continued to cry, really cry. And then cry out when you're in trouble. Amen. Psalms 50, Psalm 50, verse number 14 and 15, we find this in Psalm 50, 14, 15. He said, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and God, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. In other words, he said, if you'll offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay your vows unto the Most High, God, do what you say you'll do, in other words. Well, how many times in the hospital have people said, Lord, you get me out of this, and I'll tell you what, I'll be at church from now on out. You'll find me in church. I'll do what's right. And you know what? They get out, and then they about a week or two at your church, and then they're about back in the same boat. But if you'll pay your vows to the Most High, offer thanksgiving, and then you can call up on Him, He said, in a day of trouble, and I'll deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You can expect Him to deliver if you've offered unto God thanksgiving and you paid your vows when things are going good. Then when it gets bad, you can say, Lord, I need help. We need you now. We need you right now. And then you need to cry out whenever God's not even manifesting Himself. You know when that is? That's now. Amen. I mean, you say, but I don't know where God is. I mean, man, seemed like he's 1,000 miles away. Seemed like heaven's brass and the walls are there and seemed like nothing's happening. God, why is he withholding himself? I don't know all those answers. I don't know that. But you still need to cry out to God. You need to cry out before trouble comes, even when trouble begins, even in the trouble. Pay your vows, offer your sacrifice of thanksgiving unto Him, and then cry out. And God said, I'll deliver. Even if I'm not around, it seems like I'm nowhere around. You need to cry out. Amen. It works. It works. Out the other side of Hardin, Kentucky. Driving up the road, going to Tennessee one day. Monday morning, wasn't it? Monday morning, first time. Billy called. And said, Cheryl is a doctor's has come in and said she's got a blood clot in the cavity in the brain. And when it fills it full, she's gone. Call Brother Tim. He'd call Brother Tim. I'd call Brother Tim. But just like all at once, listen, God's got to help you pray. You can't even pray. You can say words and it don't mean a thing. You know sometimes when you've got up and you say, ditto, amen. That's about the way I feel most of the time when I pray. I say, you know, that's not a ditto head either, amen. That's not a Rush Limbaugh ditto head. But, you know, we're going through the motion. But what else do we do? We do what we know to do. But I'll tell you, at that time, I don't know, there's something moved on me. And I know Brother Tim said that felt the same thing about the same time. And it wasn't just us. We're nothing, amen. But I remember just breaking out in tears and crying. I don't even know what I said. But I remember crying out and just crying out, Lord, we need it. Need you. She needs your touch. She needs you. I don't know exactly what he even said. Don't matter. But it was a crying out. And you know what? It wasn't before I even got to Nashville. They said, doctors don't even know what's going on. I said, Billy, now don't get mad at the doctors. They didn't stop that. I said, God's reversed that. Give God the glory for it. Amen. And you know what? Right after I done that, it's like, it's going to be okay. Going to be okay. Of course, old flesh, you know, we still cry and still go through the motion, you know. But that's all right. God understands that. I'm saying we need to cry before it even comes. We need to cry when the sun's shining. Amen? We need to cry out to the Lord all the time. That doesn't mean you have to go through a squalling voice. It's just saying, asking, trusting, Lord, I need this, and help me, guard me, keep me from temptation, keep me from evil, keep me from the evil one. And then when there are situations to rise that He lets come your way, you can say, Lord, deliver me from this. Deliver me through this, if you please. Or even while you're in that, whatever, God, your will is, but God, to you be the glory, thy will be done. And cry out, and He said, I'll deliver you. The three Hebrew boys, Lord, they said, you better pray. You can go pray about it if you want to, but you're going to have to bow to this. He said, King, we don't have to pray about this. We know we're not going to bow. And our Lord's able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if He so chooses for us to go in there and die, we're going to be delivered out of your hand, O King. You're not going to bother us anymore. They praying, be ready, in other words. And so therefore, and cry when God's even not manifesting Himself. Why? Why would you do that? Well, the Bible said in 2 Chronicles 7:13-14, and this is whenever Israel was in a state of revival. And in other words, they just built the temple and God had filled the temple. It was so, His glory had filled it so much the priests couldn't even enter to minister. And God said to them, if ever comes a time that this glory's not on you, and folks, it's not on America now. It's not on us now. Amen. This is what He said do. Verse number 13 and 14. And back, by the way, He said this in verse 13 of 2 Chronicles 7. If I shut up heaven that there be no more rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. And then He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God promised that to Israel. God promises that to us. It's a promise to His people, whoever they are. Amen. And by the way, they're sheep and sheep to be, we call them, right? I don't tell you what, you're still His people. God knows all about it. And He said, cry out. In other words, what did He say do there? Listen, more conditions need to be met than just crying out if we expect Him to answer. In fact, there's three more in that verse when He says, seek my face, humble yourself, and turn from your wicked ways. Cry out, in other words. Sometimes we cry, we say we do, but the motive's not right. Is our motive always right when we cry? It may not be, but see, He gets you to the place to where your motive is right. James 4:3 says,
you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Therefore, we're not really crying outright from the depths of our heart when we want to consume it. It's a selfish cry. It's not a real cry, leaving it in the Lord's hand. You see, but then the Lord has to send more affliction and more bondage like He did in the days of the judges, if you please. More servitude. In fact, Hosea chapter 5, verse number 15, He said, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. You hear what God said? God said, I'm just going to turn and leave them alone for a while. Could that be what's happening to us? We're not willing to acknowledge the real problem. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Could it not be that we're not willing to seek His face and God just said, I'm just going to walk off out here in the field somewhere and watch them from a distance and watch them go through the motion and see if they're going to be content with, in another year like they've been content the last years. Oh, me. In other words, He has to send more affliction, more the withdrawn face of God. In other words, we're talking about withdrawing from us. What's it going to take for us to cry out unto the Lord? Really cry out, or will we wait too late? You see, Judah failed to heed God's warning. Over and over, she did evil again and again and was delivered when she cried. And she thought that God would always do that, but that He warned them of the coming captivity and what would happen. In Micah chapter 5, verse number 1 through 4. Micah chapter 5, verse number 1, chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. And I said, Hear I pray thee, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? Who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from them and their flesh off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as the flesh within the cauldron. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but He will not hear them. He will even hide His face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves in all their doings. In other words, and He also said, in other words, they didn't get it right, and they went into captivity, the children of people. And when they got in captivity, they cried, and they cried, and they cried, and they cried, no doubt, many days and many nights. But you know what? They couldn't get out until it was time for them to get out. 70 years had to be fulfilled. You see, they waited too late to really cry. As for us, will we wait too late? We need revival among God's people, if you please. We need revival among the children of God so that the lost will be saved. But are we crying? Are we confessing? Are we repenting? You say, but yes. Oh, yeah, we are. But now, are we really crying? Or will the Lord have to let the affliction get greater till all human help is gone? And then we'll cry out, really cry out. But will it be too late? Remember I said in Proverbs a while ago, He said, I'll laugh at their calamity. I'll laugh at that. So what we need to do is cry out now for revival, while there's hope, while there's time. Cry out for God to stir. Cry out for salvation and souls of those that's not saved. Jeremiah 33:3, He said, Call unto me, and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 9, Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. They shall cry, and He'll say, Here I am. You think I'm withdrawn, but I've been here all the time waiting for true repentance, waiting for my people to seek my face and turn from the wicked ways. And hear their cry when they cry at that period in time. What's it going to take for us to cry out? Really cry out? Or will we wait too late like the nation of Israel did and had to pay the awful price? May God help us today to see these. Then they cried and God delivered. And how many times has He delivered us? We can't count the number if we really knew. But may God help us to really cry out to the Lord and expect Him to do something in the year 2005 for God's glory. Father, I pray that we'll learn to praise You for what You have done. I pray that You'd help us to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving up to You. I pray that You'd help us to pay our vows in the midst of the great congregation. I pray that You'd help us then to cry out to You from our hearts, really cry out to You, and expect You to do something. Lord, may we repent. May we turn from our sin. May we seek Your face and humble ourselves, as You said in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If we'll do that, You said You'd hear and You'd answer and You'd heal the land. You'd manifest Yourself. Help us to cry before trouble comes. Help us to cry as trouble begins. Help us to cry in trouble. Help us to cry when all hope's gone. Even when you're not seemingly manifesting yourself. Even when you're not seemingly around. Because there'll become a point, there'll come a time when the work of God will be done. And then you'll say, here I am. Here I am. And you'll deliver. And you'll heal. And you'll help. And we'll thank you for what you do. Help us tonight. Let no one quench your spirit. And we'll praise you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. For His sake. We do pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed, altars open. Will you mind the Lord tonight as she plays?